أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
الذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم أعظم درجة عند الله وأولئك هم الفائزون. Verse number 20. Now, after the comparison between the two types of action, offering water to the Hujjaj and maintaining Masjid al-Haram on one side and al-Jihad fi sabilillah on the other, now a very general statement is made here about the second type of people, those who have believed and migrated and waged jihad in the way of Allah with their possessions and persons, have a greater rank near Allah, and it is they who are triumphant. Of course, this hijrah is mentioned here, migration, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا, because some people had believed in the Prophet and they did not migrate with him because of many belongings and many attachments that they had back in Mecca. So faith in itself was not, of course, sufficient. They should have migrated with the Prophet, peace be on him, to gain a rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it says those who believed and migrated. And even after migration, they took part in jihad with the Prophet, peace be on him. So, وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Of course, this migration and jihad فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, they were two very difficult tests for mu'minun. You can imagine, for example, if you were settled somewhere and all your business, your belongings, your home, your family, relatives were somewhere, and suddenly you were told that you have to leave all these and go out to a place where you have nothing, no relatives, in which you have to be sustained by other people. And it was, of course, a very difficult test. And then after that, jihad fi sabilillah. So it says those who believe and migrated and waged jihad in the way of Allah with their money and with their own selves, because jihad at this time, of course, jihad is different. Usually, when a person goes to jihad, they gain money rather than lose money, because there are armies and they pay you. They pay you even more than what you gain at your own home when you are working ordinarily. But in the old times, you should have provided for yourself going to jihad, because there was no regular army, especially at the time of the Prophet in Medina. And they had to somehow support themselves, and other people should have supported those who didn't have anything. When the Prophet was going for Ghazwatul Tabuk, of course, some people came to the Prophet and told that, please take us with you, we don't have any horse, we don't have any sword, but we want to come with you to jihad. And the Prophet said that, I don't have anything. I don't have horse, I don't have sword, you couldn't come with me. And in Surah Tawbah, we will come to it, inshallah, that some people, when they came to Prophet, they will refuse to be taken to jihad because of the situation. They started crying. And it is mentioned that for these people, there is no harm. Allah is not going to, of course, to question them why you didn't go to jihad, because they didn't have anything to come with you. So, jihad actually contains two things. First, to put something from one's own self, to put oneself in danger. And second, they have to provide it for themselves. Especially this jihad bil amwal was for wealthy people, because they not only provided for themselves to go to war, usually they supervised or they sponsored many other people, for example, giving them horse, giving them sword, to go to jihad. And this was very important at that time for the Prophet, peace be on him, for wealthy for wealthy people to come forward, to sponsor people to go to jihad, to give them horse, to give them sword, shield and other things, and of course sustenance for the way. So jihad ibn amwal was a very, very important thing at that time. And therefore it's mentioned, وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنْفُسِهِمْ. They waged jihad in the way of Allah with their possessions and person. Not only they sponsored people, they took part themselves as well. These people, such people are أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, have a greater rank near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ, and it is they who are the triumphant. Now even when we put the comparison before our own eyes, we would see that now for such people sponsoring others with their money and themselves going to war as well, when we compare them with someone giving water to Hujjaj or maintaining a mosque, we would see how different their actions would be in our eyes, let alone in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore it is a very just type of merit given to them that they have higher rank. Now about this concept of darajah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rank, we have this concept mentioned in the Quran in many places. In one place we have hum darajatun andallah, people are but ranks with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have different darajats, different ranks in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned by some exegetes that, especially in the other verse which says hum darajatun indallah, people are ranks, they say that you are nothing but your own rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way you are situated, the rank in which you are put in, is you. And human beings are darajat, are ranks. And of course, in the hereafter, these darajat, these ranks that people have, is infinite. It is actually equal to the number of the people. Any one of us has a rank in the day of judgment. We have in another verse, أُنْظُرْ كَيْفَ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Look how people are different. Some of them are merited more, some of them less. Some of them have higher rank, some of them less. How in this world people have different merits and have superiority over each other. وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ أَكْبَرُ دَرَجَاتٍ وَأَكْبَرُ تَفْضِيلًا. The other world, in the hereafter, these ranks and darajat, you will see more visibly. You will see every person is placed at a rank. And this is something which is scary with regards to the time that we have. In fact, these ranks are acquired by the time that we have in this world. And any moment, any second, we sit idle, we are losing a higher rank, and we are actually being satisfied with a lower rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is of course a pity. However, this should be acquired by our own selves. It is sometimes said that the type of body that we have in the other world, of course in the other world we have a body, we have a soul. Now the type of body that we have in the other world is actually the incarnation of what we do here, our actions. And the soul that we have in the other world is actually determined by the amount of knowledge that we have gained in this world with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the knowledge is our soul, the action is our body, and they come together, they form our ranks with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here when it says those who believe, which is of course the belief, the faith determines the amount of our knowledge that we have with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا, of course their action, they have higher ranks with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَعْظَمُوا دَرَجَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, they have a higher rank. The rank is determined by faith and the action. When they go together, they form the rank of a person. Of course, from a certain rank people would go to Jannah, and from a certain rank people would go to hell. There is a very clear and distinguishable demarcation between ranks from a certain point. However, whether in Jahannam or in Jannah, the ranks are infinite. People have according to the number of the people, we have ranks and we have degrees, darajat, in which people are placed. And of course, the higher our rank, the more pleasure we receive in the other world. And the meaning of this verse in Surah Al-Asr, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, becomes clear here. That yes, human beings, they are in loss. As the time passes, you are in loss. You lose your capital, your life, by which you can gain your rank. If you use it, of course, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Every person is in loss, except those who believe and do good at every moment of their life, because they are gaining. Otherwise, they are losing. Whatever you have, whatever you do, if you do not increase in faith and amal salih, you are losing. And if you are doing that, of course, you are gaining. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالسَّعْرِ. So these are the winners, the others are the losers. So these people are وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They have greater ranks near Allah. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. And it is they who are the triumphants. Of course, on the Day of Judgment, we will find out who is faiz, who is victorious, triumphant, who is loser. And they are triumphant because they have invested their time, their capital in this world in a proper way. Now, what will be their rewards? يُبَشِّرُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ وَرَزْوَانٍ وَجَنَّاتٍ لَهُمْ فِيهَا نَعِيمٌ مُقِيمٌ. Their Lord gives them the good news of His mercy. Well, He's actually giving them the good news now, that يُبَشِّرُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ, I'm giving them the good news, good tidings, that they will receive my mercy. And وَرِضْوَانٌ, and His pleasure. وَجَنَّاتٍ لَهُمْ فِيهَا نَعِيمٌ مُقِيمٌ, and for them there will be gardens with lasting bliss. Now, three things are promised to them here. So, a good promise they receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First of all, يُبَشِّرُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِرَحْمَةٍ, a mercy. Then, وَرِضْوَانٌ, pleasure or being pleased with them. Razwan, وَجَنَّاتٍ, and of course gardens, لَهُمْ فِيهَا نَعِيمٌ مُقِيمٌ. Now, which one is more important than the other? Three things are mentioned here. رَحْمَةٍ مِنْ, a mercy from Him. Razwan, pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَنَّاتٍ, لَهُمْ فِيهَا نَعِيمٌ مُقِيمٌ. They have eternal bliss in those gardens. There is another verse in Surah in the same surah, Tawbah, it's verse number 72. It says that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. No, it's not verse 72. That's another verse. This is another verse. It says إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Those who believe and migrated and fought in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they hope to receive rahmatullah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what type of mercy is this? The mercy which is mentioned here, of course, they might get killed, certainly. They lose lots of their properties when they go to war, and even sometimes they had booties of war when they were victorious. However, some people, the amount of money that they had put forward to sponsor others to go to war was so huge that the booty that they received wouldn't have covered it. So they had lost in property. They sometimes had injuries or loss in soul. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising them rahmah. What kind of rahmah is it? You remember when we were discussing about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we said that Allah has two types of rahmah. One is a special rahmah, mercy, which is for mu'minun. The other is the general rahmah, which is for everyone. And rahim refers to that special, specific rahmah, which is for mu'minun. And rahman refers to the rahmah, which is general and covers, includes in itself everyone. Now, this is special rahmah. Of course, this is a special rahmah, because they have the general rahmah that everyone has. This is a special rahmah that Allah is promising them. And this is something which is very much elaborated and explained in the Quran, that what type of rahmah is this. When Allah has mercy on someone, He would like to take him to high rank near him. And therefore, He should guide them, first of all. So, guidance is a corollary of rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, it's not all. There is a general guidance, then a special guidance, then an attraction that Allah would attract them towards Himself. When Allah wants to have mercy on someone, you might, for example, when you have mercy on your child, you might put them under very hard training, and it might not be very pleasant for them. But you know that whatever you do, if you send them to school, if you take them to doctors, if you put them under hard tests, it's all because you want them to grow. However, if someone is not caring about their children, they leave them to do whatever they want. Now, when rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to take someone, of course that someone would especially undergo special training by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Special test, special guidance, and this is a sign of rahmah. And at the end, what they gain is closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world and in the other. This is rahmah. Now, Quran itself is a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This has come to take people. Of course, whoever listens, whoever recites, whoever practices, it will receive this rahmah properly. They will receive this rahmah properly. Otherwise, of course, the rahmah is rejected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Now, what's this rahmatun lil mu'mineen? We send down these verses of the Quran in which there is shafa'. Of course, shafa' is healing of the heart, cures the disease of the heart. Wa rahmatun lil mu'mineen. This is my mercy. I want to take you. I want to actually uplift you towards me. That is why I've sent down the Quran. This is rahmah. How are the prophets himself? What do we have in the Quran with regards to the prophets? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you as a mercy to everyone. Now, I want to generalize this special mercy. I want everyone to come in. I want everyone to take part and take benefits from my rahmah and come and listen to you and, of course, make themselves ready, prepared, so that I could drag them in my rahmah. I could cover them with my rahmah. So, we have in the Quran that Prophet, peace be on him, has come as a token of rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Then, specifically Quran, which is given to the Prophet, is again a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is special rahmah. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. What they create, when Prophet comes and he speaks to us, when we recite the Quran, what happens? We increase in a type of knowledge, which is a special knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and about what we have to do with relation to Him. So, this knowledge which forms in us is rahmah. And in fact, Allah mentions the knowledge with regards to Himself, knowledge of God, rahmah. And it's not, of course, given to everyone. The amount of knowledge you are given is the amount of rahmah that you are given. Some people are completely ignorant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are completely disappointed. Or they shouldn't hope any rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ يَأْسُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ. The unbelievers, they should be disappointed from my rahmah. Because you don't see it here in them. How do you want to see in the hereafter? Whatever we have here is us in hereafter. It is very important. There is a very nice hadith from Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, peace be on him, who says, tell to people they should know that whatever is here is a sign of whatever is there in the other. Whatever you are here is actually minimized you in the hereafter. And whatever you are there is a maximized you which is here. So you are nothing but yourself. And yourself, اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم حسيبا كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. On the day of judgment you are told, you yourself is the best judge. Not that you judge yourself, your soul would judge that who are you. Whatever you have gained in this world is you in the other world. So the amount of knowledge with regards to Allah, the amount of rahmah that we receive in this world is the amount of rahmah that we receive in the other world, of course in a different way, in a maximized way. Remember the story between Khidr, between Musa alayhi salam and the man who is mentioned in the Quran, which we have in the hadith that he was Khidr alayhi salam. Musa was looking for someone to teach him, which is probably before his prophethood. Allah had actually inspired him that if you want knowledge, you have to go and learn it from someone. These spiritual guides, of course, are very important. They are not found very easily, and they are not found by going and looking after them. When the time comes, Allah would appoint a teacher for everyone. Now, the time had come for Musa to have a teacher. And Allah inspired him that there is someone in some such and such place, you have to go and find him. And he went with his servant, you know the story. They lost the way, they had a sign, they passed the sign, and then they came back. Until they found someone. They found not. Now, how that person is described in the Quran, this is very, very beautiful. فَوَجَدَ, they found, عَبْدًا مِنْ عَبَادِهِ, one of our عَبَادِهِ. آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عَبَادِهِ, we have given him a rahmah. Now, this is very beautiful. I mean, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when He actually makes you aware of Himself. This is the rahmah. And gives you knowledge about Himself. آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. We had taught Him a knowledge from ourselves. He hadn't acquired that knowledge from here and there or in the books. He has received that knowledge from us. This is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. This is the special rahmah. Now, sometimes this rahmah is very good. And that's what the Prophet said. إِنَّ فَضْلَهُ كَانَ عَلَيْكَ كَبِيرًا. The fadl, the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what the Prophet said. On you is great, huge. It's not comparable to any other human being. What we have bestowed upon you, the Prophet. And that's the knowledge that he had, of course. And the nearness, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The closeness to Allah comes through knowledge. The more we are knowledgeable about him, the closer we are to him. And the more we are ignorant, the farther away we are from him. And this is why we have in hadith, فَضْلُ الْعَالِمْ عَلَى الْعَابِدْ فَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَادْ عَلَى طَائِرِ النُّجُومِ. An alim, a knowledgeable person with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his merits over someone who worships, a worshipper. Abid is worshipper, of course. Worshipper is not someone who worships like us. 17 rak'ah a day, or even 51 rak'ah a day, or fasting Ramadan and Shaban, no. Worshipper, in the past we have Ubad. Ubad were those people who spent most of their days worshipping. Say, for example, hundreds of rak'ah every day they worshipped for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most of the days they were fasting. Most of the nights they were praying. But they were doing it only out of a drive, which was for Jannah or whatever else. They were Ubbad, but they were not ulama. They didn't have knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the hadith says the merit of an alim over an abid, someone who worships without that knowledge, is like the merit of moon in its full, when it's full moon, over other stars. Therefore, this knowledge is very important, and this is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how this knowledge is gained? This knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know we are very ignorant of Allah. We have faith. It's very faint. It's very vague. We have faith in someone whom we don't know. We see only some signs of him, but we really don't have that knowledge about him. How this knowledge is acquired? Now, this knowledge is only given to those people who deserve it, who purify themselves. Now, with regard to some prophets, Allah mentions why we gave them the knowledge of prophets, why we gave them. Two of the prophets, Musa alayhi salam and Yusuf alayhi salam, they were of course brought up in a very, very bad and vicious environment. Well, of course, Musa was brought up in the house of Pharaoh, and Yusuf was brought up in the court of Egypt. Of course, that was before Pharaoh, because the malik at the time of Yusuf was not called Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a title of Egyptian kings after the king at the time of Musa actually built a very, very big palace. And the big palace was called Pharaon in Egyptian language. And then the one who resided in it was called Pharaon as well. So you would see the king at the time of Yusuf is not called Pharaon. It's called Malik. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ اُتُونِي بِهِ. The king said, bring Yusuf to me. أَسْتَخْلَصُهُ لِنَفْسِي. I want him to be my close associate. So he was Malik. And then afterwards they became Pharaon, Pharaona, they became so arrogant. The king at the time of Yusuf was not a bad king, of course. He believed later on in him and he had close association with Yusuf alayhi salam. But after they became so arrogant at the time of Musa, the Pharaon, of course, was quite different from the king at the time of Yusuf. However, it was their court. And you know what happened in the court. Only one instance is mentioned at the time of Yusuf with Malik's wife or with a wife of Aziz, how they wanted, and other women, how they wanted to entice Yusuf alayhi salam. So it was a very, very vile environment in which they were brought up. However, they kept aloof of all these viciousness and foul practice. Now, Allah says about both of them, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ, when they came to the age, وَسْتَوَى, and they had all their capacities fulfilled for them, آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا, we gave them both wisdom and knowledge. Now why? وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسَنِينَ, this is how we reward Muhsin, the one who is good. If we don't have knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to be sure that we are not Muhsin. If we are Muhsin, if we are a good doer, that knowledge comes itself. It is looking for Muhsinun actually to go to them. However, they don't find it. And even the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this special mercy that we are talking about, is everywhere. They don't find a place on which they can set foot. They cannot find the heart in which they can dwell. Otherwise, of course, it's general, it's for everyone. It's for everyone who prepares themselves. So if we do not receive this knowledge, it means we are not Muhsin. It means we are not Salih. We are not actually prepared for it. Salih is someone who actually has the merit to receive something. Now, we don't have the merit to receive. We don't have the capacity to receive. Now, those two prophets I mentioned, Yusuf and Musa, Allah gave them that knowledge and wisdom because they were Muhsinun. Now, we have another verse in the Quran which relates rahmah to this ihsan, to this good doing. Anyone remembers those that verse? It's mentioned, it's repeated in the Quran in some occasions. Inna rahmatullah qareebun min al muhsin. The mercy of Allah is very close to Muhsin. If you are a good doer, that mercy which we are talking about, which gives knowledge, which gives wisdom, that is very close to Muhsin. If you are a Muhsin, it comes and attaches to you. You shouldn't do anything else. You shouldn't actually take pains to find a teacher and to be taught what is, how I can acquire this knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. You just purify yourself. It is inside you actually. This is what most scholars say. Whatever you are looking for is inside you. The only thing is that you cannot find it. Of course, it needs some sort of teacher to bring it out from the depth of your soul. But that teacher will be provided for you as well when you are ready for it. However, first you have to purify yourself to become a Muhsin. And then, of course, inna rahmatallahi qareebun min al-Muhsin. It's very close to Muhsin. Now, about other prophets, about Lut alayhi salam. It says, it's in Surah Anbiya, وَأَدْخَلْنَاهُ فِي رَحْمَتِنَا. We made him to enter into our mercy. As we gave him whatever he wanted in terms of knowledge and wisdom and all these things. Why? إِنَّهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. He was from the Salih. And anyone being from the Salihin would be let into this mercy of Allah subhanahu. Also, in the same surah, it says, وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِدْرِيسَ وَذَلْكَفَ كُلُّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. The children of Ibrahim, the surah is counting. وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِدْرِيسَ. Probably this Idris was another Idris, or maybe these are not among the children of Ibrahim, which is being counted in the surah. وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِدْرِيسَ وَذَلْكَفَ كُلُّ مِّنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. All of them were from Salihin. وَأَدْخَلْنَاهُمْ فِي رَحْمَتِنَا. Maybe I'm mistaken about the names. وَأَدْخَلْنَاهُمْ فِي رَحْمَتِنَا. We made all of them to enter into our mercy. And this is because all of them were from Salihin, of course. Just let me find the verse here in Surah Anbiya. Yeah, وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِدْرِيسَ وَذَلْكِفْلٌ كُلٌّ مِّنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Sorry. كُلٌّ مِّنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. All of them was among the patient. It's verse number 85 and 86 in Surah Anbiya. وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِدْرِيسَ وَذَلْكِفْلٌ كُلٌّ مِّنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. All of them were from the patient. وَأَدْخَلْنَاهُمْ فِي رَحْمَتِنَا. And we admitted them into our mercy. Admitted them into our mercy. إِنَّهُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. They were from Salih. And that's why we admitted them into our mercy. Now here, when it says yubashiruhum rabbuhum, their Lord is giving them the good promise, the good tidings, birahmatan min, with a mercy, with the good news of his mercy. This mercy is, of course, because now there are some muhsinun, isn't it? The one who believes, migrates, and fights with their property, their belongings, and their lives for the sake of Allah. Aren't these from muhsinun? So, yubashiruhum rabbuhum, first of all, birahmatan, mercy from them. And of course, you know that this quarrel was going between Ali ibn Abi Talib and his uncle Abbas and Shayba. And in fact, the verse is talking about, in its supreme instance and supreme individual, which actually is covered by this verse, is Ali ibn Abi Talib. And this is the rahmah that he is receiving, which is like the rahmah was given to Lut, to Ismail, to Idris, to Zalkir. يُبَشِّرُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ. Okay, now this is the mercy. Then what is رَضْوَان? It should be super higher than that rahmah. بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ وَرَضْوَانٍ وَجَنَّاتٍ لَهُمْ فِيهَا نَعِيمٌ مُقِيمٌ. Okay, about رَضْوَان, inshallah, we speak next week. What the رَضْوَان is that Allah is giving the good promise about it. وَسَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى.
You talked about this knowledge now, in the terminology of knowledge, there are two types of knowledge. One is acquired knowledge, and one is knowledge by presence that you mentioned. When you talk about this knowledge that Allah gives you, which kind of knowledge are you talking about? You talk about the second type,
Yeah, of course, it's knowledge which is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you do not acquire it. It is knowledge by presence, and you only can know Allah with the second type of knowledge. The first type of knowledge would not cover. Yeah.
How do we know whether we have got that knowledge or we have received that knowledge or hikmah, or how do we know?
Well, it's a knowledge. I mean, how do you know that you can drive a car? I mean, it's very easy to find out. How do you know that, for example, you have a knowledge about how, say, for example, a cell is formed? You know. I mean, you can analyze it for yourself. You know it, and the knowledge is in itself self-evident. I mean, any knowledge that we have in itself is self-evident. So when that knowledge about Allah comes, it's much more self-evident, because that is a very, very bright and shining knowledge. And I don't think anyone would miss knowing that he has that knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You might know how to drive the car, or how do you know we are following the rules?
You see, following the rules and other things are for ordinary mu'minun. I mean, they follow it because they are told to follow it. However, for those knowledgeable people, they follow it because they know that it is beneficial, or they avoid it because they know that it's harm. It is just like, for example, if a scientist tells us that, for example, you have to avoid such and such food because it's harmful, and we only follow. Okay. However, for him himself knows why. He can analyze why. The prophets, those endowed with knowledge, they know that these are. And they know the philosophy of all these things. They know that there is no other way but this way that they have to follow. So, following the rule is not the knowledge. Even, I mean, the knowledge of jurisprudence, having the knowledge of deducing all these rules, finding them from its adilla from the sources and all these things. Eating is not the type of knowledge. It's a knowledge which tells you, for example, why you have to say Allahu Akbar when you want to start the salah. They know why. We just mimic it. But they know why they do it. That is the type of knowledge. Yes.
You mentioned both Salihin and Muhsinin as good doers. Is there a difference between these two?
Yes, of course. Muhsin is someone who is after Ihsan, doing good. Now, doing good to themselves, to others, with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salih is actually accomplishments of Muhsin. A Muhsin who has accomplished himself becomes Salih. Actually, because Salih means liable. Salih means someone who is liable to attaining. It means after doing lots of Ihsan, they have now become liable. They have now accomplished themselves. And that's why Salihun are categorized under the category of Muqarrabun in the verse in Surah Nisa. أُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Salihin are the last category. Of course, then Salihin would be admitted into the rank of Shuhada, and afterwards Shuhada would be admitted to the rank of the Siddiqeen, and Siddiqeen would be admitted to the rank of Nabiyeen. However, Salihin actually have accomplished what they have, and they have become one of the Muqarrabun, at the end of the list of Muqarrabun, which is of course the highest probably rank that we ordinary people can acquire in this world, inshallah.
Just head to the last question. The term Muttaqi is not, you didn't mention anywhere in your lecture. So what is their rank?
Muttaqin. Well, taqwa is a very general concept. Every believer has a degree of taqwa. And of course, taqwa goes with all these ranks. All these ranks mean taqwa. Taqwa, in fact, is the means to acquire all these things. You see, taqwa is what you have with yourself somehow your fuel to drive you forward to these ranks of muhsinun, salihun, nabiyun. The more stronger, the higher you go, more fuel you are given, and more distance you can go with it, and faster you can go. So taqwa is actually the sustenance for this travel. And this is why on the Day of Judgment, of course, we are told that فَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّاتِ التَّقْوَى. You need sustenance on the Day of Judgment to move forward, and that's taqwa. So it's very general, taqwa. And then it gives us these ranks of being muhsin, being salih, being sabir, and all these things which are mentioned.
Mentioned in the verse that the Prophet is described as وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And yet he talks about the two rahmah being rahmah of this world, whereas rahmah being rahmah for the next world, i.e. only for the believer. But the Prophet is not described as rahmah لِلْمُؤْمِنِ, he's described as rahmah لِلْعَالَمِينَ. You said from the situation.
Yeah, it's interesting question, because for the Quran we have that نُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Okay, Quran is rahmah للمؤمنين, for the believers. And وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. It actually increases the loss in ظَالِمِينَ. It doesn't help them. So it's rahmah للمؤمنين. However, the Prophet, peace be on him, is rahmah للعالمين. It means he is somehow more general. He has sent with more general mission than only give Quran to Mu'mineen. And that general mission is that he calls everyone. He wants to bring in everyone. And it is actually an explanation of what we are told about specific rahmah and general rahmah. It means that Allah wants that specific rahmah to reach everyone. But of course, not everyone would accept it. They would reject that specific rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, that specific rahmah is offered to everyone. However, some people accept it and they are included in it, some people reject it. Therefore, those who reject it is not a shortcoming on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He has sent that rahmah to everyone. And those who accept it will be included, those who reject it would not be included. And it gives an explanation that why some people are included in that rahmah, some people are not. Why some people are actually favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why some people are not. It is from their own side, not from Allah's side. Allah has sent a general rahmah to everyone to accept it. This is what I can understand from it.
Sorry, but then would that imply that the Quran is not a general rahmah for all the people, i.e. they are not going to be guided by whether the Prophet is or not to be guided, and how would you then?
No, you see, the Quran, of course, I mean, someone who does not believe the Quran, how can they benefit from it? They read it to criticize it, for example. They do not believe in it. And this doesn't have that, the book doesn't have that type of quality to go to people and tell them, you have to believe in me. Actually, the character of the Prophet is very important. Now, it's very good that you have bring this up, you have brought this up, because the character of the Prophet is different from Quran itself. The very influence which the Prophet can exert by his character to everyone is, of course, farther from the influence that the Quran can exert. Because Quran can go only to those hearts which they want to recite it and accept it. However, the Prophet goes to every house, calls everyone, at his own time, of course. And that's why he was rahmatun lil alamin, for everyone. And those who rejected, of course, then they did not accept the Quran as well. Nowadays we see that anyone who believes in the Quran, that the more we believe in the Quran, the more benefit we take out of it. The more serious we take it. And therefore the more rahmah it is. However, the Prophet, he went to Abu Jahl, to Abu Sufyan, to all people, he called everyone, while not, they didn't go to recite Quran themselves. I mean, Quran didn't go to their houses by itself. It was the Prophet who went to them and called them. And there is one other thing to this as well, and that is the character of the Prophet. When anyone looks into it, even after a lapse of time, even during the forthcoming history, if anyone looks into the character of the Prophet, that could be a guide and a mercy for everyone. However, the Quran could only guide after people believe in the Prophet. And it is, in a way, to make it very palpable. Most of us, we do not recite the Quran, and we don't know what is inside it. But we believe in the Prophet, isn't it? And we follow him. We follow whatever he has said. We don't know what's in the Quran, even we cannot recite it. But it is only his character, or his influence, that has captured our hearts. And if you ask most of the mu'minun, do you know what is inside the Quran? Can you recite the Quran? They say no, for example. But they say, whatever is in it, we believe in it. Why? Because the Prophet has brought it. Because this is a revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet. Therefore, Prophet is a more general mercy. And this is why his shafa'ah would take those people who don't know what's written in the Quran, but they believe in him. And this goes after his time as well. During his time, of course, we analyze it differently. After his time, if you, I don't know, if you make an estimate, I don't think 3/4 of mu'minun would know what is written in the Quran and can recite the Quran. And all of them are mu'minun because of the Prophet, of an influence which has come through him to their hearts. However, those 1/4 who can recite the Quran, who understand it, who analyze it, of course they benefit more. After they have faith, then they can benefit more from the Quran.
You were mentioning Rabbi Yusuf, and there was a point after his trials in the court where Allah gave him the knowledge and wisdom because he became Muslim. Was he not Muslim well before that?
No, it says, وَكَذَلَكَ نَزَّ الْمُحْسَنِ. In this way we reward Muhsin. Well, of course, you have to maintain a situation for a while before you could be given something to it. And after several years that he had maintained this status of ihsan, then Allah gave him knowledge and wisdom. We have in hadith, this is actually mentioned in both Shia and Sunni hadith, مَنْ أَخْلَثَ لِلَّهِ 40 صَبَاحًا. This is very interesting. جَرَتْ يَنَابِيُ الْحِكْمَةِ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ عَلَى لِسَانِهِ. Whoever purifies for 40 days for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, 40 days is the time which would somehow accomplish that, would fulfill the prerequisite by which then we are liable to receive that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wisdom. It says, whoever does ikhlas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 40 days, then the wisdom flows from his heart to his tongue. Whatever he speaks, people find out this is a different type of knowledge, different type of wisdom that is coming from this heart. And of course it's difficult. You try for one day, I'm sure it's very difficult to do ikhlas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you do is only for his sake and nothing else. It's very difficult. Try for 1 week and then you will become tired and say, okay, I don't want that wisdom.
Sheikh, I want to take you back to the last week's discussion. Related to that, if I remember correctly, that Allah is saying in the Quran that on the Day of Judgment, every atom weight of good will be compensated and every atom weight of evil deed will have its consequences. And then the discussion arose that the non-believers and the mushriks will only see the benefit of their good deeds in this world, either in this world or in Barzakh. So does it mean that they will have no reward in the Day of Judgment, and so hence this ayat only relates to the believers?
No, they see it, but it's not going to benefit them because they have the knowledge about what they have done, and they see even the incarnation of those actions, but they go away from them. And I mean, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ. This is on the Day of Judgment, Allah says. Whatever they have done, they see. But we send an army and we somehow scatter it, disperse it, make it like dust. فَجَعَلْنَاهُ حَبَاءً مَنْسُورًا. He's actually referred to different stations on the Day of Judgment. So, at one point everyone sees all good and evil, but then at one point they would see that, the mu'minun would see that the evil is not going to harm them, the evil that they have done. And the kuffar would see that the good things that they have done are not going to benefit them. And then they would scatter away and they would go. The evils of the mu'minun and the good deeds of the kuffar.
Okay, so from this, one can conclude that all the non-believers and the mushriks will in the end up in hell.
Yes, of course, but it depends how do you define non-believer and Muslim.
Yeah, there's something else.
And for example, we don't regard Christians as non-believers. We don't regard Jews as non-believers. Even we might not regard Buddhists as non-believers. Of course, shirk is a different thing. It's very difficult to analyze. But yes, of course, even some of the Muslims are non-believers. It's very obvious.
sisters.
What is
it? Can you say
what is the class? You can read for 1 year, but you can't read for 40 years. What can
Ikhlas. This is what is usually called as a muraqabah, to have some sort of protecting oneself from receiving evil things to their ears, evil things on their tongue, evil things to their eyes, and most difficult of all, evil things to their imagination. You have to stop all of them coming in. And of course, you cannot initially start to do ikhlas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to train yourself in some way that after a while, even evil imaginations, you can stop them coming to your mind. Because it's evil imagination that drives us to sin, isn't it? And whatever you eat, whatever you say, whatever you hear, is, of course, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Okay, this is the ikhlas of the Prophet, isn't it? My prayer. Now, our prayer is not لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, usually. Now, if you want to try ikhlas, try to concentrate in one of your prayers, from the beginning to the end. Okay? And do not let any other imagination, any other thoughts come to your mind when you are speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is difficult. This is a test of ikhlas. Ikhlas would tell you that, would determine how much khushu you can have in your salat. And of course, it would reinforce itself. If you have that khushu in salat, your ikhlas will increase. When your ikhlas increases, the khushu will be more in your salat. However, for the beginning, say try for 1 week, whatever you hear is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَفُوا أَسْمَاءَهُمْ. This is what is mentioned in Nahj al-Balagha. عَلَى الْعِلْمِ النَّافِعَ لَهُمْ. They only listen to whatever is beneficial. So, as soon as you sit somewhere, people are talking idle. You shouldn't listen. As soon as you sit somewhere, people are doing khayba. You should just leave, for example, okay? And especially talking idle and doing idle things. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغَوِ مُؤْرِضُونَ. They turn away from idle things. Now, I think most of our days and weeks pass with idle things. I mean, most of the things that we do, we say, we hear are idle. Now, to do ikhlas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, we have to put all these aside. And then, of course, what we say, before we say it, we have in the hadith that the real iman, real faith is when whatever you want to do, you say, first you think about it, whether this is what is liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or this. And then you start doing it. Usually what we say, what we do, comes without thought. We never think whether this is, how Allah is judging this. We just do it because, well, we take pleasure of it, or we want to have a good time and such things. Now, I tell you, after 2-3 days you try this, then you come to a type of very difficult situation of, okay, why am I leaving? What's the life for? If I'm going to leave all these idle things, all these pleasures and everything, why am I leaving? I mean, what do I want to dislike for? Then you come to this, then Shaitan comes to your thoughts that, okay, why are you doing all these things? Isn't Allah giving you paradise without all these things? Why do you want to do ikhlas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then, of course, the more you go forward, the more difficult it will become. And that's why, of course, that's not an easy thing to achieve. مَنْ أَخْلَفَ لِلَّهِ 40 صَبَاحًا جَرَتْ يَنَابِيُ الْحِكْمَةِ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ عَلَى رِسَالَةِ. Is actually for those people who have great resolve and great love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and really have despise for this world. And it's in this way that that knowledge will come to people. Okay.
Last question.